Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
You know, there's almost nothing about that intro that's correct now. I don't offer the sacred fire because I'm not in my own home, and I don't have permission to do so. What was the other thing? I haven't played my flute because my parents are asleep, and I don't want to wake them. I don't take calls unless I'm expecting one, so I shouldn't give that call-in number anymore. It's just kind of out of date, kind of like me, he said, leading into this whole thing about his 50th birthday. Don't believe any of that stuff. The stuff is true. Let me back up a minute. The whole thing about absolutely, I don't think of myself as that way. So emails trying to convince me that I'm not. Okay, I just there's something to say, something to start the show off in any wonderful, wonderful way. Observing first that my show intro is out of date, and then implying that I was as well as a segue into my discussion of my 50th birthday. But even as I was doing it, I decided it wasn't terribly funny, so I think I just want to back off from the whole thing now. Good evening. You've stumbled upon Mud Toe at Midnight. I'm your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me this evening. It is my 50th birthday today. How about that? They said it wouldn't last. As far as I can remember, I've never done the show on my birthday before. It would be logical that I wouldn't have, because this is the fourth year of the show, and I think it rolls like one day. It goes back one, like the February 6th would have been on a Thursday last year, and a Wednesday the year before that. Last year on my birthday, my daughter, actually I don't think this happened on my birthday. I was going to say my daughter took me to see the local university hockey game. We went to a restaurant first, so it was a very full evening. I remember her being impressed with how fast the hockey skaters skated. And she said, boy, they skate really fast. Yes, they do. They've been doing better, our university hockey team, as far as attendance. I remember when I started going to see them 5 years ago, the place would be pretty much empty. Because they were playing teams, we're in the Midwest, and they would be playing teams from Alaska and Washington State. And I think Minnesota was about, I think they probably played Michigan too. But most of the teams would be in Denver, would be in. And most of them, not teams with a lot of local rooting interest or interest of any kind. But, I mean, fine cities, fine teams, all that, but you know, not bringing out the attendance here in my big city in the Midwest. So you'd go in and it'd be you. And I went to see them play at the University of Alaska once, and there were more Alaska fans there than there were fans of our university. Of course, they have they use the big, what would you call it, same place where the basketball team plays. And they have, I guess their announcer probably has a contract because he comes to do the hockey games as well. And he speaks in the same volume and tone of voice as he would as if he was doing the basketball game, which is kind of overpowering when there's only 10 people in the place. But, as I said, they were doing better. They got into a new conference alignment of teams that are geographically closer to us, and there's more interest and there's more visiting teams or visiting fans showing up. So, kudos to them. I enjoy hockey. I enjoy college hockey especially, just because it hasn't had the corrupting effects of the professional, what's the word I want to use, the professional structure where every time money gets involved. Of course, money is very deeply involved in, at the university level, but not so much in things like hockey. So I guess it hasn't lost quite all of its purity yet. That's why I enjoy it. So what about being 50 years old? I don't know. It's kind of like being 59 or 49. I mean, I've been telling people I was 50 for several months. I just got bored with being 49, so I wanted to be 50. Now I am. Reflecting on, I guess I do an awful lot of reflecting on aging. I don't know if I really need to do it, especially right now, just because I hit sort of a landmark birthday, because someone in our society decided we needed to count by tens. 50 becomes a landmark. I don't know. What shall I say? I had all sorts of ideas before I got on the... I messed myself up because usually I have to call in to Blog Talk before I get on the radio. And usually I call in about 10 minutes beforehand, and then I have time. I have to get my head together for the show, man. I got to have that 10 minutes. But I let it slide today for whatever reason, and it was like 3 minutes till before I got, oh, shoot. Yeah, that's what I said, oh, shoot. And I got dialed in, and it was just like, as soon as I got dialed in, it was like, okay, you're on. What? So now I'm kind of stumbling and bumbling around, which you probably don't perceive much difference. That's what I usually do. People who haven't listened to the show before, I am a healer of society, and my modality is the written and spoken word. And this is one of the tools of that written word, that modality, is that I say what I am moved to say under the assumption that somebody out there needs to hear it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be moved to say it. So it's sort of a free form. I do sometimes try to prepare something, if that seems to be right, but that often doesn't come off. You know, whatever I've prepared. I prepared a whole thing about Pete Carroll. I don't even know if I'm going to talk about him. I do have my book here, my Walk in Dry Places, which I'm trying to stick to every week. It's a reading from that. I don't want to say inspiration. That's not what it is. It's the daily meditation, I guess. The book of daily meditations, that's what it is. So I like to share the daily meditation from that and just see what that inspires in me. So we'll make sure we get that in. Maybe that'll tie into my 50th birthday somehow. Who knows? But I start talking about my daughter taking me out, and she's taking me out next week, and that's sort of the only constant. Even my parents haven't really been a constant as far as, except by calling me, I guess you could say that. When I wasn't living with them, they always called me on my birthday and let me know somebody was thinking of me. And there's always been, you know, I have friends and relatives and who make sure. I had a number of relatives call me today. I was pleasantly surprised. Not that I didn't think, okay, come on, I've got a couple of people posted on my Facebook page. And the Kindle Sphere. That is cryptic. Katie Singing Eagle has posted on my... I got a happy birthday from my cousin Rebecca. Thank you, Rebecca. And I've got the Kindle Sphere from Katie Singing Eagle. I don't quite know what she means, but thank you. Let's see. She may follow up on that here in a bit. Or maybe not. Have not heard from cousin JR. He usually listens to the show. I did hear from him earlier because I posted something to him, a faux Jaws poster. We're both big fans of Jaws, as is my daughter, who pointed it out when she saw the page, and that I'd addressed it to him and not to her. We saw Jaws together in 1975 when I was 10 and he was 11. Created our own Jaws parody on cassette tape, which was very popular at that time. So, I mean, he replied back that he was excited. It was like he sent me a list of exclamation points. Well, the post was, it was a T-shirt that was designed as if it was for the business of Quint, the fisherman who gets... gets eaten by the shark in a rather novel way. Jeez, I hope that isn't a spoiler if you haven't seen the movie. I don't know, at what point do spoilers expire? How long does a movie have to be out there before people, the ending isn't a spoiler anymore? Because, hey, if you wanted to see the movie and be surprised by it, you should have seen it by now. Okay, so Jaws is what, a 20, 30, almost 40-year-old, well, 40, this is the 40th anniversary. This came out in 1975. So, I mean, if you hadn't seen Jaws yet, and they've been showing it on IFC, every 3 hours for several days now. So if you haven't seen it, okay, there's this character in it named Quint, played by Robert Shaw, who meets an unfortunate end at the jaws of the Jaws. And they put out, so this post I got on Facebook was, you know, a t-shirt for Quint's, you know, fisherman business. I thought it was funny, so I passed it along. And my fellow familial Jaws fans liked it as well. Okay, I've got a smiley face from Cousin JR now, so that's good. I can continue. See, that's the thing. I don't multitask well. So if something comes up on the Facebook, I have to stop everything and go look at it. There it is again. And he says, here it is. I can't, these bifocals are, here's a defect of being 50 years old. It's these stupid bifocals. The bifocals themselves aren't stupid because they're inanimate objects and they can't be stupid. It's the process of using them that's kind of distressing. And happily remembering, this is my cousin J.R. sending this, and happily remembering our parody and your mother's expression when she came into the room to make sure we were okay. And it says there's more before the smiley face. To reveal, I have to do this. Or more. I did post on your post about being 50. He did. But I know I saw it. But at first, I neglected to say happy birthday because your mentioning 50 really threw me. But I did edit it to include a happy hatch day. Andy, I'm listening. Okay, well, thank you, JR. Oh, hatch day. I get it. Okay. Hatch day. Well, that could be like an invasion of the body snatchers thing, too. But anyway, we're just torching right along, aren't we? I had just thrown me off. The whole timing thing just gets me. I had some other things I had to do today, too, because there was a change in, I guess policy would be the right word, at Blog Talk. They used to allow you to schedule your show, your weekly show, in advance, you know, I think for as long as you wanted to. In other words, you didn't have to go into Blog Talk and say, okay, I'm going to do a show on Friday at midnight, this Friday at midnight. You could write down, I'm going to do a show on Friday at midnight forever. And then put it in there so that it would start your show up, or it would be ready to start your show up when you called in. Now they aren't letting people do that because I guess people were taking up a lot of the prime slots and not using them, just kind of taking them up so other people couldn't get them. So now you have to program your show every week. And Iggy, bless his heart, is kind of trying to move some of the responsibility of the Blog Talk operations to other people because he's got other things to do. So he learned me how to make this Blog Talk program my own show work. Actually, it's quite nice because I had a biography on here that's been out of date, a biography and a show description that have been out of date for some time. So now I was able, actually, I substituted a brief description of the show rather than the bio. And I'm trying to see if I'm going to be proactive enough to go ahead and set up next week's show before I go to bed. It's usually as soon as the show is over, man, I turn off the computer and I get into bed. I usually listen. I have my other computer set up. My desktop computer is already set up. I usually listen to Iron Chef. It helps me sleep. The old one, the old Japanese one, kind of lulls me to sleep, I guess. So that's, I mean, I would have, my goal was my outside goal was 10 minutes. I prefer to do it in 5. Have everything, you know, put away and have the Iron Chef cranked up and be in bed. Because I don't sleep well. So it generally takes me a couple of hours, and they say, well, it's because of, no, I wouldn't sleep at all if I didn't have the Iron Chef on. Slept fairly well a couple of days this week, and I try and figure out what the magic formula is. I sleep much better than I did before I started taking my meds, but that's another story. I'm quite sure, as my herbal friends have told me, there are probably things out there that would help me sleep just as well as the meds do, if I were to seriously investigate it. Now, where did that tangent come from? Okay, I'm going to do walk in dry places, and maybe that'll get me focused. Let's see, I got to fly on February 6th because I pulled out my bookmark, because my bookmark has all of my codes that I need to get onto Blog Talk. And I was trying to hold the book open with where the bookmark was supposed to be and have the card out and type, and it didn't work. So it won't take me that long to find February 6th. And in fact, it did not. The topic for today is competing with others. We live in a world torn by endless strife and competition. Although competitiveness can be a good quality, we've seen it become very ugly and destructive. Few alcoholics like the excitement of competition, but many of us withdraw from it. We hate anything that includes the risk of defeat or might make us appear second best. Sometimes we even feel guilty in winning. We don't need the kind of competition that causes us to gloat arrogantly in victory or to wallow in self-pity and defeat. We don't really need to compete with others in anything if we are truly seeking guidance from our higher power. If God is in charge of our lives, we do not have to struggle with others for the good we seek in life. It's God's pleasure to give us the good things of the kingdom. There is a kind of competition that does pay off in sobriety, competition with ourselves. We can try to be better people than we might have been yesterday or a week ago or a month ago. This kind of competition requires skill and stamina. It also requires exercise and training. But anybody who sincerely seeks a spiritual life and true self-improvement can find it in AA. This day, I won't try to reform or change anybody but myself. I will remember that God is in charge of things, concentrate on competing with the person I once was by letting the program work in my life. Interesting ideas in there. A little bit AA heavy, but we'll forgive him for that. I was thinking, actually, this probably isn't too broad of a thought, but I was at, I didn't even mention this, my big activity today was I went to my old high school to see a basketball game. I haven't been out there for a while for that. And they lost, which is pretty much what we've come to expect. But I guess they're actually doing pretty well today, or this year. They won 10 games, which is much more than we're used to seeing them win. So kudos to them. And they were playing a pretty good team. Team had a better record than they did. So, but I remember thinking about what's the goal of competition, because it was a very crowded, again, something I wasn't used to seeing at my high school, big crowded basketball game, and very, particularly among the adults, very aggressive. Lots of yelling and screaming. The kids didn't seem to care a whole lot, and good for them. I mean, if they're not going to not care about something, that's a pretty good thing to not care about. Is a competition, a sports-type competition. I mean, the goal of competition, to me, the proper goal of competition is to get better. So if you have that skill you're working on, and it can be, I mean, one can say basketball is not a particularly useful skill. There are physical skills in it that can be useful in other phases of your life. And even if it's not, it's that sort of Zen thing of having something to do and getting better and better at it, even if it's not something that directly translates to something to you in the life, the act of practicing something and getting better at it translates into practicing the other things in your life, getting better at them. So I dig competition. It's fine. I like watching games. But then it's first of all, the outcome of the game becomes more important than having learned something from it. I think that's a problem. When you see teams play teams that do not have nearly the ability that they have, that's a problem. Because I don't think either team would, learn from playing somebody who's away, who can't even be on the same court with you. And I don't see how you learn from losing by 80 points every night. So I think that has come. What was I going to say? I mean, that idea of winning being the goal other than competing and learning, I don't think that's a uniquely American thing. I can't blame that on the American experience. Certainly, you know, empires are being formed everywhere on Earth. You know, I can't, it's not even a Western or Eastern thing. People were killing each other just to say that they did. Long, long time ago. So it'd be a habit that's hard to break, evidently. So did any of that read on to what they were talking about in Walking Dry Places? I don't know. Because again, as I said, it was very AA heavy, meaning that it was very directed to issues that interest people who are in AA. They're not always like that. Sometimes they are broader. Okay, now here's another one of these. A message saying, JR upbraids me for not letting him know I was going to do that. Actually, I didn't even know I was going to do that. And it's a weird thing happened. My Aunt Janet called to wish me a happy birthday. And Aunt Janet is the child support enforcement department in her county. I did not misspeak that. She is the only employee. She does everything. And evidently she was coming to Bucyrus, this is my mother's understanding, with some person that was, I don't think you could fairly say she was a client, but someone involved in the child support enforcement system. And I only presume that there was a child who was involved in the game who just wanted to go to the game and she had to supervise or facilitate or something. I only got very little information from what my mother was saying. But I thought, oh, there's a basketball game in Bucyrus tonight. I ought to go. Okay, there's more stuff now. Hold on. Next time you plan to go to a Bucyrus basketball game, let me know. Oh, I said the name of the town. Sorry. If it's on the weekend and if I throw you too much messaging during your show, let me know that too, so I won't do it. No, just keep throwing me messages, JR. I just won't read them all. on a day like today, I really need ideas. I have this stuff. I have to talk about competition. I have this stuff I was going to talk about Pete Carroll, so I might as well at least get into that, a little bit of that. Poor Pete. I never thought anyone could make me feel sorry for him, but they have. And Pete Carroll is my brother. I'm very sorry for what he's going through right now. If you don't know, he was the losing coach in the Super Bowl on Sunday, and they lost the game on the last play. And most of the world seems to think that Pete Carroll should have called something else. You know, Seattle had a very good running back named Marshawn Lynch, and they thought they were on the 1 yard line, so they should have given it to him, and he would have scored from the 1 yard line. Now Pete decided not to do that. He called a passing play, and the ball got intercepted, and New England won, and Seattle lost. And now basically every sportscaster in the world has taken their turn at making fun of Pete Carroll for having made that call. Let me explain also that I don't care for Pete Carroll because of something he did when he was coaching at USC. There was a scandal down there. The guy who used to date Kim Kardashian, his name escapes me at the moment, but he did some bad things. They were recruiting related, and he's been like stricken. It's like Moses in the Ten Commandments. He will be stricken from all obelisks and his name taken from all buildings and whatever. So anyway, Reggie Bush is his name. So Pete Carroll was the head of the program while that was going on. And this investigation just took an obscenely long amount of time. It happened in 2003, and the NCAA's judgment did not come down until 2010. And it was clear that it was going to be bad. So Pete just named them, see you later, guys. And he went to coach the Seahawks so that he never had to experience the consequences of the Reggie Bush fiasco. But the kids who were there and had nothing to do, I mean, 7 years later, they had nothing to do with what was going on at the time. They had to bear the brunt of the punishment. You know, they lost ball games and scholarships and whatnot. So always thought, didn't think much of Pete Carroll because of that. And I was rather upset when they won the Super Bowl last year, although Seattle is the kind of team I like. You know, the hard-nosed defensive team, mostly running team. I like that kind of team. I'm glad to see when they succeed, because it makes those pass-happy teams look pretty silly. But now this thing is, because everybody else is dogpiling on Pete Carroll. This happens a lot. I said, stop dogpiling on Pete Carroll, because you're going to make me take his side, because that's what always happens. And now he's gone from, dog shit, in my view, to a sympathetic character. And he's my brother. He was always my brother. Everyone is all male people are my brothers. All female people are my sisters, unless I want to sleep with them, and then I'll excuse them from being my sisters. But I just ran that right into a wall, didn't I? I think that goes to competition too. That Pete, well, I don't know that he had to have known something about it. I don't know if he was the kingpin of what happened in 2003. But you're competing at the highest level like that when there's so much money and so much prestige on the line for these institutions. You're obliged to cheat, and everyone does it. I mean, at my university, they were on probation a while back, and I know rules are rules. At the same time, the kind of violations that were found at our university, I maintain, could be found at any competitive Division I university. Just not, didn't have the reason to look for it. So it's unfair. It's just unfair. Came out of it okay. Just won the. Guess this gives away. I don't know why. I still feel that every once in a while I kind of poke at this idea of trying to maintain some form of anonymity. Of course, the name Mud Toe Sasquatch helps with that a little bit. But saying I live in a large city in the Midwest. I don't actually live in, but I'm trying to work my way back there. Next week, I'm supposed to see the inside of this apartment that the city wants to rent me, and I'm supposed to find out how much money they want me to pay, which could be problematic, because my income is varies so much from month to month. I don't know exactly how that's supposed to work, but I'm supposed to find out all those details next week, and I'm actually supposed to be able to move in the following week. So not the next show, but the following show could very well be done from the new Mud Toe Central. And I won't have to worry about waking up my parents anymore. That would be fun. I think it would be. But anyway, I need something to drink. I had been pretty good about bringing water in here with me, but tonight I forgot. So I am rather dry. I have to talk my way through these last 2 minutes. Well, it's 90 seconds now. Now I've totally run out of gas. My brain is locked up. I do want to thank everyone for their kind birthday wishes today. The birthday hasn't upset me. I didn't really think it would. I wasn't expecting that it would. It's just the next birthday along. I set intentions basically to be a better person this year, which I think should be the intentions I set every year. You always work to be better. There are some rather obvious things I could work on this year. Like that book, getting that book done, man. Now, comedian Patton Oswalt has a book out before me. Actually, has several, but encourage me. Send me your encouraging energy. Get me off my butt. And onto the typewriter. Okay, that's it. Check in with me next week, if you like. Thanks for listening, and have a pleasant good evening.